The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the show Mr. Gerald Ratner. Hello, Gerald.
Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for joining us on The Business Bunker. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show with us today. One of the things we've been talking about just recently on the last couple of weeks, Gerald, is the whole retail scene. And as a man that's been heavily involved in retail, both offline and online over the years, I'd be interested to know your take on where you see things in the retail arena.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about the high street lately and the Mary Porter's trying to sort it out.
Mm.
But it's not really happening. And I think with the internet, which is about 12% of sales, which has come from nothing, and that is sure to go up.
Right.
Amazon will probably take over, become the new Marks and Spencers in 10 years' time. That's the way we'll look at it.
Right.
It's inevitable that the weakest part of this is going to suffer, and that is the high street. So I think even what Mary Porter's, or they're just really rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. I think it's got to contract the high street quite dramatically. I mean, I don't want to show my age, but when I started, it was only the high street. There was nothing else at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
When did you start, Gerald?
In the 60s.
Okay, the swinging 60s.
I'm 63 now, so yeah, I worked in the shop at 17, which I advise anybody to do, is to not miss that part of retailing.
Absolutely.
Go to the bottom, or in any trade for that matter.
Yeah, absolutely, get close to the customer. I mean, most of our listeners will know you based on the original Ratner's chain of jewellers stores, but you've been doing an awful lot of things since then, haven't you? Can you tell our listeners some of the things you've been involved in over the last few years?
Yeah, well, when I left the Ratner's, which was not just the Ratner's shops, we owned H. Samuel, Ernest Jones, we had 1,000 shops in America, Watch Fits and things like that. People always think about it as just a Ratner's chain, but it was a Ratner's group.
Yeah.
But obviously, after the unfortunate events at the Albert Hall, I had to resign and didn't really do anything for 7 years, more or less gave up, believed everything that was said about me in the press. And eventually, strangely enough, I got back into business through a health club, because I was doing a lot of cycling around, as you do when you haven't got a job, you do sort of try and get fit. And then I made a success of that, strangely enough, even though I knew nothing about health business. And then I used that money to go back into the jewellery business, but I felt that it was 2003, the quickest way to expand would be online, and we were very lucky because the last 10 years has proved that the growth there has been much greater than it is in the high street.
Absolutely. So it almost was a stroke of serendipity, that, to be honest, to some extent, and it moved you into an area. Do you think if that thing hadn't have happened, we won't refer to it,
that thing
at the IOD, that if that hadn't have happened,
the elephant in the room,
if that hadn't have happened, do you think you would have been much later into the online arena personally, or do you think that's just a side issue?
Well, you know, this happened, the event was obviously a complete and utter disaster, but I did then try and turn it into somewhat of a positive. And if you can turn that into a positive, you can turn anything to a positive.
Absolutely.
And the way I did it was basically I felt that if I went online with all those billions of websites out there, the fact that it was me with my notoriety, if you like, I would get more notice, more hits, more publicity than somebody who was unknown. So that's why I went on the internet. Yeah. So if I hadn't made that speech, I wouldn't have gone on the internet, because the thinking behind it was that I would get some benefit from the publicity, albeit it was terrible publicity.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Gerald's, you've coined a whole phrase, you know, doing a Ratner. I love that.
Yeah. Yes, well, I'm glad you love it.
I do. I love doing a Ratner, yeah.
Well, you know, I do now. For years and years, it was sort of like a dagger being stabbed in my stomach, and I felt very, very unhappy about it. But I learned now that there's no point going around being bitter and miserable, and you've just got to laugh about it like everybody else, and that's what I do. And that's why I go around the country doing these speeches as well, and really laugh about it, be self-deprecating.
I didn't particularly want to dwell on that as an issue here,
but it
is interesting. It's fascinating.
People always do.
Yeah,
we'll get back to that.
Yeah, and it's a real shame because you've done so many things entrepreneurially and so many successful things. But it is interesting. It does prove a little bit the truism that there's actually no such thing as bad publicity. Mm. And I know you don't probably see it that way, but
no, I don't.
but really, it has enabled you to do a lot of things and to build publicity on the back of that episode. Anyway, I mean, yes. Let's move on to the interesting and positive things that you're doing now.
Yeah.
I did read. I was reading some of the interesting stuff on your personal website, and I think I read something that you've been looking at the Indian market.
Yeah, I have just spent time in Mumbai launching Gerald Online there.
Right,
which I don't advise anybody really to start up in India, because the bureaucracy and all the things that went wrong. But having said that, we did get there in the end and we did launch it.
Right.
And I lost about half a stone while I was out there
because I was getting
so much aggravation. But in the end, I was going to say,
I had one of those curries ill.
Right. It wasn't my best trip, I have to tell you that. I was feeling very homesick, but that's a bit pathetic.
How long were you out there, Gerald?
I was only out there for a week. Half a stone. We got there, we did launch Gerald Online in India, and it has been very successful, even though only about 2.5% of the population have credit cards, so they're doing cash on delivery. When we started here on the internet, there was no one doing it here either. There wasn't any Amazon or eBay or anybody, and everybody felt that, it wasn't going to be big, so that's what we try and don't follow the trend, don't do what everybody else does and try and do something different.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. As it happens, I own a group of digital businesses as well in my day job. And one of my main businesses I started long before anybody had really thought about it. And there wasn't really a market for it online. But first mover advantage does get you a big stake in the game. And as long as you can see it through to going mainstream, then it's a great business ploy if you can do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's too many people that just look at everybody else and say, right, well, they're doing well, let's just copy them.
Absolutely.
It saturates the market, doesn't get them anywhere. I think you have to be a bit more creative, a bit more innovative.
Absolutely.
And get there at the beginning of a new idea, come up with your own ideas, and then actually, you can do very well, but just copying everybody else is what everybody does.
Yeah.
I just think it's just like sheep, really. It's not really the way to go.
You see that on the high street, don't you, that where something successful opens up, like a nice cafe, and then suddenly there's like five copycats that open up. It drives me nuts.
Exactly. Everything gets, ruined. It just gets, people just overdo things. I mean, you've got The Apprentice, which was a wonderful business program, and then everybody thought, oh, well, we'll try and emulate that. And, every day I get phone calls saying, well, we're doing a new business program, this and that. And it just, they just, or what was it before, people doing gardening or interior decorating, they just copy it. Everything just seems to be copied and copied,
and then they have the same background music and all that same sort of baloney, don't they?
Yeah,
exactly.
No, I couldn't agree with you more.
Business is the same.
Yeah, absolutely. There are so many copycat businesses, and like you say, not only is it annoying because it floods the market, but it actually destabilizes the original business that innovated around it and moves it into a kind of tacky way. So I totally agree with you on that.
I mean, when we started, there were 9 jewelers. Now on the internet, now there's about 9,000. It makes my life difficult because I have to buy words on Google and they become very, very expensive because everybody's competing for that same word. But anyway,
absolutely.
You can spend your life complaining, but you just have to get on with it.
Sure. Anyway, you're due to come to Kent next week, we understand. And
yes, I am.
You're going to be speaking at the B2B event at the Ashford International Hotel, and
yes.
We're all looking forward to that. What are you going to be talking to your audience about there, Joel?
Well, inevitably the speech, because I can't avoid it. If I stood up there for half an hour and not mention it, people would just not really be think that I'm just avoiding it. So I do talk about how you know, everything got ruined,
right.
And how depressed I became, and had sort of sat and watched Countdown in bed, and went through this 7 years of wilderness of doing nothing, and how I got, but how I did then, eventually, it was my wife who threatened to throw me out of the house, actually, unless I got a job. So sometimes you do need somebody to give you a kick up the backside, and how I then got going again, how wonderful it was. Because I actually believed that I was completely finished, and how wonderful it was to build a business again from scratch, albeit nothing like the size of my old business. But
sure.
It was, you do take, I don't want to get too cheesy, but you do start appreciating things second time around, and you know, especially if you've lost everything the first time. So, you know, that's what I talk about. That it's a bit gets a bit miserable, but it has a happy ending. But it basically, the message is that, you know, you are going to get setbacks. Life is difficult, and if you accept that, it's no longer that difficult, because you are going to get knocked back. And if I can come back from where I was, which was a pretty low place, then anybody can come back. And, you know, we've had a very good run up until 2008, and a lot of people in business today don't know what it's like to really be under pressure. So,
absolutely.
But what I'm saying is, the message is that don't despair. That is part of business, and it'll probably do you a bit of good in the end. I know it's done me a bit of good.
Absolutely, and that's a very powerful and motivating message. And we're really looking forward to hearing it. We'll be at the event as well, because we're broadcasting live from there. So we'll look forward to meeting you there, Gerald. Before you go, give us a shout for your website, so that people can come and have a look at what you're doing these days.
Well, thanks very much. It's just Gerald Online. If they just Google Gerald Online, that's a jewellery website selling diamond jewellery, and
brilliant.
Yeah, we could do with a business. That'd be great.
And we have a link to that on our website as well, so that if people want to find it, you just go to the Kent Business Radio website, and there's a link to Gerald's website on the front page of ours at the moment. Gerald, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to meeting you and to hearing you next Tuesday at the B2B event at the Ashford International Hotel, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks very much indeed.
Look forward to meeting you.
Yeah.
Look forward to meeting you as well.
Enjoy your day, Gerald. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was an interview we did some years ago with the fabulous Mr. Gerald Ratner. Some life lessons there in how to overcome the adversity of losing £1 billion business. An absolutely unbelievable story, really, for those that remember back then about what happened. A throwaway line at a business event caused the destruction of a whole group, as Gerald said, of retailers, and sent Gerald into a few years of despair and depression until he finally pulled himself out of it. And all power to him for doing that. And I happen to know that he's still doing incredibly well, especially in the Asian market, and has gone back to retailing in physical premises to a large. He does have the online still, but in Asia he still has chains of shops. So all power to him, and what a great interview that was.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.